Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. Our goal here is to keep bringing great information from great teachers all over this great profession so you can use some of it and create a better practice and better life. And one of the biggest challenges dentists have is how do I present the right treatment that could include a bigger fee and not compromise quality? Well, today I bring back a great friend of ours, Dr. Marco Brindis, and he walks us through how to help a patient versus making business out of a patient. It is awesome. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I get the coolest teachers, instructors, speakers anywhere in dentistry because I love learning too, to share some wisdom on this podcast to help you create a better practice and better life, and to bring back a regular guest, great friend of mine, Dr. Marco Brindis. You're going to love this guy because he's a great thinker. And he's actually headed to the Restorative Academy in Chicago tomorrow, where he has a lot of responsibilities. And I'm like, let's go there with something that's going on recently in your practice. And we're going to talk about this, but we're going to be talking about helping a patient versus making business out of a patient with Dr. Marco Brindis. Thanks for being on, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, my friend.
Yeah. So, I have so many questions for you. And so as we were talking about this before we hit the go button, you just had a patient leave recently, like today. And I'll set the stage for this. You're a prosthodontist in New Orleans. And so you're in a place where you get some of the most expensive treatment plans coming into your office for different reasons. And you have to somehow help these people and decode this whole puzzle that they have. And they don't always love what you have to say. And so you always look so calm, cool, and collective. So let's talk about this. The dilemma between helping a patient versus making business out of a patient. What does that even mean? Give us a little background.
Well, the end is just going back to where we're doing this for. A friend of mine, Cinco Fuel, he's a periodontist in El Paso, right? Great friend of mine. And he said, if your reason to be here is for money, you're in the wrong business.
Right.
This is not a good business to make money. Really go to do an MBA, do other stuff, do business somewhere else, because dentistry is not for that. You can make a good living for sure. There's no doubt, but you're hard to be in the right business. It has to be in the right place. And we're here at the end, ultimately, to help the patients, to help other human beings, to overcome their needs, overcome their really struggle, especially as a prosthodontist. I am the end of the line, right? Many of my patients, they have seen another eight dentists before me. And they were all my patients are referred to the practice, and so they come very frustrated, very hurt, with a lot of damage over the years, not only for their own habits but also for other dentistry that it was done before. Some at some point it started to be in two patch dentistry at some point, and many people came up with a solution here and tackle that solution. Oh, didn't work, it start all over again, and then a new treatment plan. And at the end, they thought that they were spending less money by going to a general dentist, but at the end, they're just doing one thing and separate things, not as a comprehensive. And I think the key factor is comprehensive. But when you have a comprehensive treatment plan, and in this particular case, for example, a case that I saw today, the patient needs a full mouth reconstruction. And it requires crowns, it requires implants, it requires a bunch of other procedures. And the patient was excited when they saw me the first time, and then would refer the patient to the surgeon. after hearing all the fees and everything, the patient got scared, like, I cannot afford that. It's too much. And the patient kind of disappeared. We reach out and say, like, no, you have to come back. Every time they have a first-time patient, we have two appointments. One appointment to gather all the information, to have a general information. And on the second appointment, after having the consultation with the different specialties, that's when we come down and put together all the information more accurately, gather all that information and come up with a treatment plan. Now, how do I deal with a situation with, we're talking a lot of money. We're talking a mortgage. We're talking a lot of money to invest in your mouth. And they know that they need it because they have been looking for a dentist for many years. They know it's not that they have to create the necessity. They have the need. It's just, how are we going to help them? So I have to come up with a solution to help the patient, at the same time, make it affordable for them, at the same time, to make it profitable for the practice, so everybody wins, all right? But at the end, we have to always keep in mind that the patient comes first, right?
Right.
So with that in mind, how are we going to approach these kind of cases? If I go ahead and just say, okay, I'm going to try to save your teeth, even though you have dry mouth, I'm going to have to try you save your teeth, crown all your teeth. And if it doesn't work, then I go back and extract the teeth, and I'm going to do this FP1. And if it doesn't work, I go back and extract these implants and place some more implants and do an all on four. Right there, you just presented three different treatment plans that you execute in the same patient. So in these particular cases, when I have a case, for example, dry mouth, that is very common in my practice, Sjögren syndrome, right? They come here, they have a lot of decay. They perhaps already have a full mouth reconstruction in there with a lot of recurrent decay. And you see the tissue, you see the roots, you see everything so well, the bones so good. But then the teeth are getting rotten because of the dry mouth, right? And we have, it's out of control, even with the constant cleaning. So when the patient like that comes to me, I always tell them, because I'm thinking of saving the teeth, and I tell them, you know, if you have $1 million under your mattress, I would suggest you to go ahead and redo the full mouth case and try even harder to keep it clean with no promises. Mm-hmm. But that full mouth reconstruction, again, is many thousand dollars to do that. So all the patients completely understand what I'm saying, and they agree, then like, that's why I need to extract your teeth. All right. Now, once you get to that point, still it's going to be a lot of money. And when you turn a patient into a dentalist patient, you extract teeth, then the options are so broad. So you can start from a denture all the way to an implant-supported crown and ridge, right? So there's a range of somewhere in between $10,000 and $100,000. That you have there. So what's the best solution for the patient? On top of everything, would you recommend to a patient as a final treatment plan to wear dentures? And the answer is actually, it's a difficult answer. And it's a very controversial answer because many dentists would tell you, of course it's a great treatment. And it depends in the area that you're practicing in. It depends in the country that you're practicing in. You know, it depends a lot on the social economic situation of the area that you're working in. Now, being realistic, all right, we all know a general consensus is that implant-supported prosthesis is going to have a better performance than a denture. We all kind of like agree with that. So ultimately, we try to give the patient function back, the quality of life back, all right? And when it comes to that, the first thing I tell to my patient, not to scare them away. It's like, listen, not because you hear the word denture, it has to look like something fake and ugly, all right? I can tell you that with my denture, I can give you the best possible aesthetic result, the same as if you do crown on bridge with zirconia or whatever you mentioned, I can make it regardless if I do an implant supported prosthesis or just a denture. The teeth are going to look exactly the same. That's the first thing I say, which is true. At the end, it's true. All right. Then we have to think the patient's going to ask, yeah, I don't like the denture. But you would be very surprised how many happy patients are with dentures. Not too many, but there's definitely some people that find a way to get used to that, to eat with it, and be happy with it. Very few, but from time to time that happens, right? So when a patient like this comes to me, and especially comes with a wife, and I remember on a side note, the wife made a comment. This patient is about 70 years old. He's about 70 years old. So they're retired people. And the wife is right there to support the husband, right? And the wife said, okay, so what are we going to do? And he said, you know something, doctor? Don't try to do too much. He's old. So he's not going to last too much longer. She just said exactly those words.
Wow.
And I said, like, what? It's like, no. And I immediately stop her and say, you don't discriminate people because of their age. And that is age discrimination. Just because you're older, you don't deserve to have a quality of life today. It doesn't make any sense. All right. So even to my students, I asked them once, would you place implants on a 90-year-old patient for two locators to improve the retention of a lower denture? And everybody raised their hand. Of course not. Why not? Because he's 90. What? No. You don't understand. It's exactly when they need the most. There are very few things in life that you enjoy at that age. And one of those is to eat well and to have quality of life. So if you think it like he's going to have less time in this world, well, let's give him the best possible time for whatever years he's going to get to live. And I actually, the oldest patient that I myself placed implants, he was 90 years old.
Wow.
And I placed two implants. The patient lived until 96. All right. And when he was 92 years old, he was the happiest man in the world because he could eat steak again with his lower denture with two locators. 2 years later, he had an accident and in a car, he get in emergency room. The driver died and he was in a coma for a couple of weeks. When he woke up, the first thing that he asked is like, are my teeth okay? It was that important for him. So let's go back to the story over here. I told the wife, what are you talking about? First of all, you don't know who is in front of that line going to the other side. You don't know if I'm in front of you or I'm behind you. We don't know that. So we cannot use that as a reason to decide what's best for your patient. The best for your patient is the best, either if you're 10 years old or 90 years old, right? So with that in mind, I completely calm her down and say, like, no, don't kill him yet. He still has a long life to live. All right. So, and the husband, he was like, exactly. Yes, of course. I want to live that life. Anyway, the patients are very concerned because they come here like, we want to see your doctor. And your doctor, and start kind of like talking in a aggressive way, saying like, it's insane what they're trying to charge us. And you're like, and it's an abuse and it's a lot of money. It's like, I completely understand it's a lot of money. It doesn't mean that it's the wrong thing.
Right.
It's just a lot of money. And I understand. I know. I understand. We not all of us have that amount of money. Now, it's an investment. However, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But I'm here for you. So here's the plan. The plan is this. Understand that my premium plan, which is an implant-supported full arch prosthesis, upper and lower. So extractions, grafting, implants, and implant-supported, possibly with immediate loading protocol, all right? All that is going to be this amount of money, all right? Now, remember I told you that one of the options treatment plan was a denture. And right. As soon as I mentioned denture, they start, No. Hear me out. I'm not proposing the treatment plan to be dentures. However, for me to get from A to Z, Z being the implant-supported prosthesis, the first step that I have to do is to make a denture. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here's the thing. Why don't you go one step at a time? So the advice here to you is like, how do you charge in these cases? How do you help the patient to make the right decision? What is the, what they absolutely need? Do they have to go all the way to $100,000 to make them happy? Or $20,000 is going to be enough to make them happy? All right? We cannot know that 100%.
Right.
We can't until they try it. So my advice to other prosthodontists or other restorative dentists that are doing these extensive treatments is that you make a treatment as a whole. You plan. Remember, you're an architect. So don't make the plan of, okay, I'm just going to make a treatment plan for your bathroom or your bedroom or your kitchen. Make the plan for the whole house.
Right.
And then you then talk to the patient and say, like, do you want to start with the kitchen? Do you want to start with the bathroom? But the bathroom is already connected in the plan with the kitchen, with the bedroom, and with the rest of the house. So you make the plan for the whole house, and perhaps when they start doing and they do the bathroom, perhaps they said, that's all we needed. Mm-hmm. We only needed the bathroom here. So in this particular case, going back to the patient, I told my patient, listen, you need a denture to start with, okay? And you will be in a denture anyway because we needed to wait for some healing before. So if we do that, test it. Pay for the denture. We do the dentures. Don't pay for the whole treatment plan. Pay for the denture. And guess what? That's a down payment for the premium treatment plan that I presented to you.
Yeah.
It's a down payment. All right? It's putting towards your treatment. This is not a separate treatment. It's putting toward the maximum best treatment that I can present to you.
Yeah.
So do that. Pay only that. Let's try it. And you might be surprised and you might say, you know something, I feel very comfortable with the denture. And then perhaps you have other priorities in life when you can use the rest of the money too.
Yeah. All
right? And I completely understand. You're retired. I understand. You have to be careful with your money. I understand that. And I am very conscious, and we all have to be conscious about there are people. They have families. They have struggles. They have lack of money. They have to really take care of diseases and other stuff. So it's not only us. So we have to be very careful what you ask the patients to pay for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think one of the things I could say firsthand about you is you're not a money grabber. Like, that's not your thing. You've been around some of the best educators. You know, in the last podcast, you shared the story of your father. And so you're extremely passionate about how to help people. You also know the value of excellent dentistry. And in that, you know what to charge that is commensurate with that value. Now, I want to go back to something you said you hit before the go button. I like how you said this. You know, think of it as all of one treatment. You're going to present all of it and you're going to divide it into three. Instead of like just presenting this treatment plan, going for it, and then explain that, divide it into three. And then you also use the word upgrade, but maybe you could put that together. Let's go to the first one.
Sure. Sure. So for example, let's say it's going to be an implant supported prosthesis.
Yeah.
Right. So for that to happen, I have to do extractions. I have the patient to get healthy first, to get the extractions, perhaps with bone grafting to preserve the bone. Why? Because that's what would you do for the whole treatment. You preserve the bone, have ideal bone. The patient wears dentures. Then the bone is healthy. Then we place implants, right? We place the implants. You can either load them or not. Let's say a conventional way of not loading them. Just place the implants. Wait another 4 months. After the 4 months, you make the conversion. And make the final prosthesis, and you get all the way to the implant-supported prosthesis, right? So right there, I just mentioned three stages. The stage is when I extract and deliver and admit a denture, right? After that, it takes about 6 months. Then it comes the second stage. The second stage is about to set the piles for the house, the implants, put the implants in place, right? The third stage is to load the implants, and that's the final stage, mm-hmm. right? Now, in that second stage, from the second to the third stage, you might use, I don't know, a fully implant-supported prosthesis, or it could be an implant-supported prosthesis. Implant-assisted prosthesis. So what's the difference in between implant-assisted and implant-supported? Implant-assisted means that you still rely on the tissue for the support, but you get extra retention from a couple of implants, right? And the next level is to have more implants. It is fully implant-supported, meaning it's fixed and is rigid in function, which is the ideal at the end, at the best possible treatment that we can offer is something that resembles what the patient had before, right? Which is rigid in function.
Right.
All right. But it's not always possible. Now, humans can adapt to many things. So let's go back to the question. What's the three sections? Right. So I plan for the whole thing. I plan even appointments. So this is the amount of appointments for this stage, and for this stage, right? So if you divide it in three, for example, the first step, it was to extractions, bone grafting, and denture. All right. So as to the patient to just pay for that portion, all right, go for that one for the cheapest option, which is extraction and dentures, all right? And you're going to have to live with that for 4 months. And in those 4 months, after the 4 months, you can tell me, you know something? I'm okay with it. And I'd rather use my money somewhere else, but I'm fine. My bite is fine now. I can smile. I'm really happy with it. And I'm going to stay with that. And perhaps you say, no, I'm miserable with this. I cannot stand the palate. I cannot stand, be careful of dropping these. When I chew, they fall off and all that stuff. And I want to have something implant supported. Then at that point, you can move and start upgrading to that. And that upgrade could be not all the way to implant supported, but it can be implant assisted, for example. But still, you're still planning the full house. Mm-hmm. You're not just planning for just restoring the bathroom. You're still restoring the whole house. So you plan the whole house. The message here is always plan the full house.
Yeah.
And then you can divide it by rooms. It's fine, but always plan the full house. Don't start fixing rooms without having a plan for the whole house.
Yeah. Now let me just,
Yes.
I love this. So Marco, you talk to a lot of dentists, you know, this is a challenge, but Marco, you don't understand. My patients can't afford this. And people often ask you, where do you practice? Do you practice in Beverly Hills where people have a ton of money? Do they just bring in a wad of cash? Like, you deal with this all day long. And not all of your patients are rich. Would you agree? So help me through that mental limitation that we have.
Absolutely. It's so tricky because of money. I'm going to get in trouble saying that, but I don't like money.
What do you mean you don't like
money? I don't like money.
Yeah.
Because it kind of like mess up many intentions, many good things,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if you drive by money, you're never going to be happy.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. I would never be happy if I live my life drive by money.
Right.
So to tell you the truth, I just don't want to be worried about money. That's it. I just don't want to be worried about money. I don't want to be worried about debts and stuff like that. I just don't want to be worried about money. But I wish money was not in the middle, because it just changes the way you treatment plan. It changes the way you take care of people, because you have to cut corners for the patients to be able to pay for it. So it is a tough one. That's why it's important, for example, when I'm talking about break it down into pieces, I am not sacrificing any quality, because all the pieces are going to be on 100% of my quality. I never, ever a sacrifice quality for money, ever. So whenever I have a pro bono case, I do exactly the same as a patient that paid me $1 million. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it exactly the same way.
Right.
And I do that way. So when you do break it into pieces, it doesn't mean that it's going to be less quality. I'm going to give them the best, like I said before, I make the statement that whatever I do, either denture or implant supported, is going to be beautiful. And it's going to look natural. And it's going to feed you well. Okay? And it's going to look great, natural. Right? So I always keep that in mind. So having said that, if they only choose to go for the first stage and they stay there, they're gonna have a very good looking smile. And with the best possible technology, we will use it all. I do not sacrifice. That's my limit. After that, I might offer a discount from my pocket. I might offer a discount, but I never cut corners to decrease the quality.
Yeah.
And I think we all agree on that. All right. That's the least we can. We have to do. The minimum is the best.
Yeah.
The minimum you can do for a patient is your best.
Yeah.
All right. That doesn't mean that all the treatment is going to be affordable for the patients.
Right.
But there are different levels of dentistry that you can achieve perfection in each level. Not perfection, but just your best in each level. And that's the key. You plan for the full house. And then if you're only going to tackle the kitchen, make the best kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Make really the best kitchen. And perhaps at some point it's going to connect with other, but they're only going to connect with other projects in the house if you make the project of the whole house together.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in just treatment plan for the little because the patient tells you that they don't have money. And then I don't plan for... Let's put it this way. I'm gonna tell you what's the risk of just planning for the most inexpensive treatment.
What?
Right? If this patient comes to me and the wife, the first thing that she says, don't spend money on this man because he's gonna die, right? So in this particular case, I'm not gonna jump in to just offer a denture because I know they don't have money. No. You always have to plan the best you can offer. And in that plan, you can include that portion of the treatment, all right? So because if I just go for the treatment plan of the denture, what am I going to do? What's going to change? I'm going to extract teeth, and I'm going to start cutting bone to make it better for the denture, to make the denture more comfortable. And I'm going to start reducing bone that I would need otherwise for implants, all right? Start cutting bone from tuberosity. Start cutting bone from... tori, you know, all those things that happen. So if I plan for the whole house, for the implant supported, then on the time of the surgery, what changes? I'm going to extract bone graft. Yes, I can reduce some of the undercuts, whatever, but always with the mindset to have implants in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm setting the plane for better upgrades over time. Okay. So that's on the first stage. What happens on the second stage? What's different? For example, on the second stage, we can make it four stages instead of three. For the second stage, let's say upper denture steel, lower denture, I don't like. Let's have two implants, locator over denture, two implants and locators, right? But if I plan for just two implants and I just focus all my attention to just two implants, I might place the implants in a very wrong position. Okay? So you always have to think, what are you going to do in the future? So in that particular case, I tell my surgeons, we're going to place two implants, but I want you to plan for five. Plan for five for a hybrid implant-supported prosthesis and only place two out of the five. And you're going to place those two for locators. So you have to make it work, those two, for eventually place three more or for never place three more. It has to work for both situations. Another decision that is made, treatment plan is better. Is treatment plan better when you plan the whole thing and then you divide it in little pieces?
Yeah. So well said. you're really challenging the way we think here. And I know I can't keep you all day. I have so many more questions I want to ask you, but like, this is an important concept, you know, making sure you're helping the patient instead of making business out of the patient. Give us some final thoughts on this, Marco.
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. Whenever you have, I always try to give as much as I can. Both of you, you are me, many of our friends that we talk about constantly, successful dentists, we're privileged. Mm-hmm. We were given a lot of opportunities that we took, of course, we developed, but we're privileged. And many people, if not most, are not. And I think from my point of view, I think it's our duty to help others. When you have getting so much towards you, all you have to do is to give to others the same, at least the same things that were given to you, to yourself. Yeah. So I think that it's very important to keep in consideration the finances of the patient. I don't want to drain their bank account. I don't want to be that person that takes everything from their retirement, because I can be very convincing. I can be very convincing with my patients and make them push and make them go for it and spend extra money that they were not prepared to expend. So I work with them and I always tell them, this is not a match in between you and I. I'm on the same team as you are. So I'm here to protect your health. And that means your mental health as well as your financial health. All right. So it's very important that it's the same as the concept of interdisciplinary dentistry versus multidisciplinary dentistry, right? Multidisciplinary is multiple specialists. Interdisciplinary is multiple specialists, but acting as one, as a team. Yeah. And when you're acting as one, as a team, the cost goes down, the results are better. And the same thing goes with this. When you treatment plan globally, and then divide it in different sections, and you start with one section, and you never know. You might help that person with just that first section. That was enough for that patient for the quality of life that they needed, you know? And then you set the tone for the rest of the treatments over time to start adding and upgrading as they go.
Yeah. So well said, Marco. I love this. And I know you've got a big responsibility starting tomorrow. So I'm grateful that you would share these awesome thoughts on the podcast. So just appreciate you, buddy. We're going to have you back again and again on other things. And I'm just going to say this. If you have a study club and you haven't had Marco speak to your study club, what are you thinking? Like, he's an amazing speaker, very entertaining, great human being, and will challenge everybody in the room in a very, very positive way. So we're going to put the links down there to everything Marco, associated with Marco Brandis. You can check him out. I encourage you to follow him and please reach out to him. You'll enjoy him as much as we do. So stick around, Marco, while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, keep spreading the words. Share this with your friends. We're loving it. I don't know how it's growing. We're just super grateful. And if you keep showing up, we're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.